Howdy. So those of y'all who don't know me, he just introduced me. I'm Lou Cowan. It's actually Lewis Nelson Cowan Jr., but I don't expect you to remember all of that, so just call me Lou and then we're good. Thank you. Just praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. I just love him so much. He's so, so awesome. Glory to God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. There's a lot to say, but what we're going to do here is just talk a little bit. There's two parts. We're going to talk a little bit about Belize itself and short-term missions and some of the things that happen there, because I think it's going to bless you. I think you're going to be happy about some of that stuff. And then I've got a short message before we have baptism today, so that's the way this is going to kind of work. And we promise that we'll have you out of here before 4 o'clock, okay? So don't worry about all that. If you start getting a little hungry, snacks are in the back. Just get up and go back and get you a snack or whatever and come back in. You know, get sleepy, take a nap back there. That's good. No, seriously, we're going to try to make this a little bit shorter. But one way or the other, I wanted to talk with you about the short-term mission trips. So we went this, I'm in a Bible college called Charis Bible College, and it's C-H-A-R-I-S, Charis. And some of you may have heard of Andrew Womack. So Andrew Womack's ministries and Charis Bible College is a subsidiary of that. And I've been doing that for 2 years. And in the second year, they require you to go on a mission trip in order to graduate. And we found out that our mission trip is going to be in Belize. And some of you may not know where Belize is. Belize is in Central America. It's on the east side of Guatemala. It borders the Caribbean Sea. And so we went there. Now, Belize boasts some of the best and most awesome places to do water sports of all sorts. They have fishing. It's beautiful, beautiful water. It's like a bathtub. They have these huge resorts with awesome rooms and concierge and all this different stuff where rich people go and they just hang out there and they enjoy themselves and they swim and play and frolic in the sand and all this other beautiful, beautiful stuff. It's just absolutely beautiful out there. They say, we didn't go there. We went to where the real people live, where people have dirt floors and just barely have a house and they're struggling to make it. And now the national language is English because Belize was actually at one time called British Honduras, and the British still have a big influence there. Actually, they have several military bases, Air Force, Navy, and various things. It's their presence in Central America. And so English is kind of like the national language, but there was quite a few other languages there. So most people are bilingual. The Guatemalans, of course, are bringing Spanish. There's Mexicans that are bringing Spanish. We even ran into a large contingent of Mandarin-speaking people from Taiwan. So it's a very international, very multicultural, and we loved it. It was just absolutely awesome to meet these people and talk to the people and et cetera. But Belize is, like most places, it has people. And people have needs. And the needs of people are the same, and it'll make a difference where you are. If you're you or you're talking to a neighbor or you're talking to somebody in your family, we all have the same needs as humans. And so much is said today about diversity, and I'm not arguing the point. Yes, we're diverse. If you look around, you can tell we're not all the same. Okay, we got that. But one thing that I want to get across just real quickly is that the Bible says that we actually are all the same. We are all humans, and we all have needs. We need to be loved. We need to be respected. We all bleed red, and we all have needs, and those needs are what join us or what could join us. So if we're looking at somebody with a different color or a different language, it doesn't matter. They still have the same need. And if you love them and you respect them and you treat them with dignity, you're going to see that they warm up to you in most cases. Now, some hardened people may not, but that's not most cases. So I wanted to just kind of get that out to you that, anyway, y'all are beautiful. Did you know that? I'm sitting there looking at, even if you're not smiling, you're beautiful. Maybe I should tell a joke to get you smiling. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. maybe later. So this is the report to this church of the mission trip, and let's switch over to the next slide, and I'm going to watch these because this is my first time to see them. And so basically, before we get started, and before we go through those photos, I was going to talk with you about short-term missions and what they are, because you have the opportunity to go on short-term missions also. And I don't know if you know that or not. If you want to write this down and get a pen and a piece of paper, if you want to, if you're interested in going on a short-term mission, either in the United States or abroad, you can write this down, and they will be a 1 or 2 week. In fact, your whole family can go, like a family unit can go on a mission trip. Or as a church, we can go on a mission trip, or as a group of some sort. And the name of the organization is Adventures in Mission. Adventures in Missions, or AIM, AIM. They're out of Atlanta, Georgia. They've been around since, I don't know, maybe 30 years or so, maybe more. And they will organize and set up custom mission trips just for you and your group and what you feel like you want to do. You can take the kids. You can take the family, etc. So I'd like to encourage you to look into that and think that through, because the advantages of short-term missions aren't necessarily what you do while you're there for the people. Now, that's good. But the big advantage is what happens inside of you. And that's what I thought was so awesome about this trip. Yeah, we did some stuff. We're going to talk about some stuff that was pretty awesome. But the awesomest things were what happened inside of us. And it was really, really cool. We'll talk a little bit about that too. All right, so that's Adventures and Missions if you're interested. Next, we'll go to this is me standing in front of the Caribbean. So you may not be able to tell it's me. And then we go to the next one. And this is one of the churches that we visited in a gang-infested neighborhood. I'm going to talk with you in just a minute about what happened shortly after this picture was taken. Pretty interesting. And then the next one is me preaching at a marketplace. There's some pretty interesting things that happened there too. The market was huge. We'll talk a little bit about that, but you can see that. This one, I can't even tell what that is. Oh, we're at a high school. We were preaching out of high school there, so that was really interesting. You can't do that in the United States without special permission. And then this is a radio program that we were at, so we had a team of us. We actually got on the radio twice, and it went out to all of Belize and parts of Guatemala. So it's a radio program, Christian radio channel there, and they made special arrangements just for us to speak. That was pretty awesome. Next is I'm going to talk about this guy in just a little bit. I want you to remember him and his face and maybe remember that picture. And we may come back to the photo later. I don't know. We'll see. And then we're back to the report. So this was a one-week trip. We left on Tuesday, and we arrived in Belize on that same day. And we kind of rested because it was kind of crazy getting there. We had to wake up at I had to wake up at 12:30 in the morning and get to the airport by 3:00 in Austin, so that we could get on a plane and fly there. The plane left actually at 6:00, and we arrived in Belize their time 12:30. And I was so confused about the time. I didn't know whether I was in Central Time, Eastern Time. I didn't know where I was at. All I knew is that my Apple phone kept up with it. So that's the only thing I needed. So we worked out good there. Anyway, there was a team of 19 of us, and we had a big board that had a whole bunch of stuff for us to do every single day. So we woke up every day and we left. We got into vans and we drove. Now, what I just said was that I got on a plane, we flew to Belize, and then we got on vans and drove. Now, many of you who know me and have known me all my life, like my Aunt Betty, for example, y'all know that I get motion sickness. And so just going to Belize, just thinking about getting on a plane and then driving in a van every day, because I've been on short-term mission trips before, just stressed me out. I got to the place where I went into the CVS to buy some Dramamine. So let me give you a description. Before I tell you that, let me give you a description of what happens to me, because most people, you know, you're out there, you feed the fish, and then you feel a little better when you get motion sickness. Like you're out on the ocean, you feed the fish. Or you get your barf bag out and you're in the plane and you barf, or you finally make it to the restroom and you barf there, and then you feel better. That's not the way it works for me. When I get sick, I'm down. For example, the worst was when I went to London. my daughter and her husband had been assigned there for a job, and she was having her baby over there, even though we told her she needed to come back. She was going to have her baby there, and so we were there for 3 weeks. When we flew out, we went to Montreal, took the red eye, they call it. We left, and we flew all night long. I took my Dramamine before I left, which put me to sleep, which was good. When I woke up the next morning, I got up and walked around the plane, watched the sunrise, and it was beautiful. And somebody said, oh, that's Ireland. So I peeked out the window and was looking at Ireland. And but I forgot to take my Dramamine. This is a 14-hour flight. Dramamine only lasts 6 to 8 hours. And by the time we landed at Heathrow, I was sick. I did not get sick at my stomach. This is what happens to me. I start sweating profusely. I start shaking violently. I'm holding on, and I have to stare at something just to make sure that that one thing is not moving, because everything else is. It took me 3 days. Well, it actually took me about 20 minutes to get out of the plane, because I was so weak in my knees and my body that I couldn't even stand up. It was like the most extensive workout you've ever been into your life. So when I got up, there was two stewardesses, male stewardesses, that they had to go get to drag me out of the plane because I couldn't hardly walk. And then they set me off to the side, and you should have seen all the people looking at me. He's the whitest thing I've ever seen. Man, look at him. Is he sick? And I'm like, oh, God, just shut up, you know. It took me about 2 hours to get to the place where I could really walk and move, and that was after drinking lots of water, drinking whatever, you know, just I couldn't eat anything. Then, from Heathrow, there's a 20-minute train ride to get to where we're going. And then you get there, and then there's about a 10-minute bus ride to get to where we're going. And by the time we got there, I said, is that the place up there? And they were like, yeah, that's the place. I said, I'm getting out right here. I'm walking. And then you got to really be careful, because people come from the other direction. They're driving from the other direction. So, you know, Grandma always told you, look right, then left. Not there. You look left, then right. I nearly got run over. I'm looking this way, and I go to step out. Whoa! They do everything backwards over there when it comes to driving. At any rate, it took me, on the fourth day, I could actually get out of bed, because my head was moving, and I was in this weakened-like state for the whole time. So you get in a picture of what happens when I get motion sickness, and I started thinking of that, and I was so afraid that I was going to be sick, I didn't know what to do with myself. So I stood in that CVS and I went to go buy some Dramamine. And I'm like, well, this Dramamine makes you really drowsy. And I've been there, don't want to be drowsy. This one makes you where your head doesn't quite work right. For me anyway, it's like I can't quite think. You ask me a question and I'm 2 or 3 minutes being able to answer. Yeah, that's not going to work right. And this other one, I don't even know if it worked. It's something about ginger and natural stuff. Oh, man. Lord, I don't even want to go. And I got this close. I picked up my phone. I was going to call the coordinator and tell her, I'm sorry, I cannot go. And something inside stopped me. And eventually I got to this place. I'm going to go. But I am not going to take any pills. And if I get sick, I get sick. But I'm resting and relying on you, because I know you, Father, that you know how to fix stuff. So I'm just going to rest on you. Yo, I didn't get sick even one time. Not even once, people. It is a miracle. Absolute miracle. Praise God. Glory to God. Jesus knows how to do stuff. And so if I hadn't known that, because all the stuff that I went through with my wife and all the other things that went on, because she passed in 2020, and it was a terrible, terrible time of really darkness. But knowing that He knows how to change the way we feel, and having experienced Him in that way, left me with this thought that, you know what? You've got this. You can fix this. And He did. I'm just, man, that's just the greatest miracle ever as far as I'm concerned. At any rate, so that was the big deal. Now, back to the talk shows, we went all over and we got us in Belize. We got an opportunity to speak. Four of us were on a team. We went to school. Schools there are really awesome because they teach. They're almost all Christian schools. Well, they're run by the church, almost all of them. So it was really interesting. So when we look at this picture here, I think it was, there was a stadium there with must have been 300 kids there from high school, all of them dressed in real spiffy uniforms, and the majority of them were of color, and we had an opportunity to pray with some of them. They came down afterwards and talked with us and prayed with them, and then I was noticing that there were two guys off to the side, on bicycles. They were waiting on the basketball court because where we were is the like a basketball court. And I went over there and started talking to them. The first guy, they were cousins, and the first guy was like, yeah, man, I got born again, you know, blah, 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 and he could tell me all about it. But the other one was like, what do you mean born again? So we talked to him about what it is, what it means to be born again, to receive the Spirit of God, to have a whole new life, and for him to change and give you power to live the life that God has given. And he gave his life to Jesus that day. That was really awesome. Then we went to a retirement home, and then the picture that you see here, I'm not, okay, I don't have anything, one more, maybe, yeah. At the picture you see here, I'm not much on retirement homes, and it's not that I have anything against them, it's just, I don't know why, just, I don't know, just not my thing. I like to go visit from time to time, but when we went, I wasn't real enthused, and I was kind of having some problems with my stomach because the eggs weren't settling with me there. So when I walked in, I was like, well, let's just make the most of this. And I walked up, this guy's sitting right there at the door, and I walked up to him, and I'm like, well, I'm thinking to myself, well, Father, if there's somebody here that I need to talk to, just give me a sign. Otherwise, I think I'm just going to kind of like step off to the side and pray because, you know, kind of dealing with some bad eggs or whatever. I walk up to this guy, and I go, well, hey there, sir, how you doing? What's your name? He goes, Lewis. You think it's a sign? Yeah. So I sat there and talked to this guy pretty much the whole time. Now, the ear that I'm talking into there, he couldn't hear out of. So eventually I had to switch over. After this guy on the left got up, I switched over and started talking to the other ear. But he received Jesus as his Savior there. He was raised in the northern part of Belize. And when he was 10, 11, 12 years old, something like that, he left home to go make his fortune, which he did not do. Got into carpentry, built houses, and was a craftsman in terms of carpentry. And I told him, yeah, well, that's cool. Jesus was a carpenter. He goes, he was? Like, yeah, he was a carpenter. Did you know that Jesus was a carpenter? He goes, well, I don't know. Are we talking about the same, we're talking about Jesus in like the Bible, like the church teaches? He had never heard of Jesus dying for his sins before. He was raised Catholic, and when he left, he had not heard that Jesus had died for his sins before. He didn't know that Jesus came alive from the dead. He didn't know that Jesus is coming back to take those that belong to him. He didn't know that there could be forgiveness of sins and that he could have a whole new life. And I got a chance to talk to him about that, and he received Jesus as his Savior before we left there. That was awesome. I love that. So then we went to hospitals, we visited some churches, we had the market ministry where you saw me preaching there. Many of us got up and preached. It was really, really awesome because the people that came were, they had a keyboard, set up the speaker system. You can see the keyboard there and the speaker system. They sang worship songs in Caribbean style, they called it, which is reggae or raggae, however you want to say it. That was awesome. And we had us all dancing in the streets on that stuff. It was really, really cool. And then the house-to-house ministry was really awesome, and that's where this church is that we were. We started off there. It was a gang-infested neighborhood. The night before, one of the leaders of the gang had been killed, and they had spread the word to everybody else except us. We didn't know when we arrived. We weren't from that neighborhood, but they told all that the men should stay off the street. Every man needs to stay off the street, or there's going to be some trouble. So there were no men on the streets. The only men on the streets were gang members. And the pastor who has this church, and he's also the Chinese pastor, he speaks Mandarin and some English, but his name is Pastor Johnny. And Pastor Johnny showed up there, and when he showed up, well, before he showed up, we all got there in a van, and we got out, and we're kind of mealing around and getting this picture and various things. And while the picture's being taken, I'm noticing these gang guys, because I've been there, done that. I see a gang guy, a guy from the gang over here, and he's looking at us, and he's like throwing some signs, and we've got two guys on the store across the street. They're squatted down there, and they're looking at the other gang guy, and they're looking at us, and they're throwing signs back and forth, and then there's another guy over here on the corner, and it's like, you know, I think we're surrounded here, and I'm not sure how this is going to turn out, so I just started praying, and I didn't say anything to anybody else, but I'm watching. And, of course, I didn't have my knife with me or anything. The only thing I had was a sword of the Spirit. That's awesome. And prayer. And so we started praying. And about that time, Brother Johnny showed up. Pastor Johnny showed up. And he got out. When he got out, he's Chinese, all right? And he's kind of gray-haired, and he's wearing this really, like, I guess you call it a, tourist hat and big old huge tourist sunglasses. When he stepped out, all the gang members were like, they just started looking at each other, and they just shook their head, and they just kind of like all walked off. They had that much respect for Pastor Johnny. He knew them. They knew him. He'd been there, and he told us later, you know, I've talked to all these guys. I've told them all of the gospel, and so it was really kind of awesome. But after this, we broke up into teams, and our team walked down the road, and this, what I'm about to tell you, was happening all over this neighborhood. It was really awesome. You didn't see any men on the streets. It was mainly women. But the final place that we went, Pastor Johnny said, hey, I want you all to come meet Robert. So Robert was a very skinny, dirty, relatively old man, probably not as old as me, but when he came out of his dirt floor house, sitting looked like a flea-infested, dilapidated chair off to the side, he was belligerent. He wasn't cussing a lot because he saw Pastor Johnny there, and Pastor Johnny said, "Hey, Robert," and he was. But to me, he didn't like me being there at all. And then I told him we're going to pray for him. He goes, "Pray for me? Why you pray for me for it? What you need to be praying?" And he just like go on and on and on about like political stuff. And y'all probably don't know anybody that gets all upset about politics, do you? This guy was, and then you Americans come over here and think you're going to fix everything by praying. I don't get it, you know. And he's just like on and on and on. He's going. Finally, we got him settled down enough to hear what we were actually saying. And y'all, it was so awesome because in less than 15 to 20 minutes, this man went from this being belligerent person to receiving the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And then he got on his knees with us in his front yard, and we baptized him with our canteens right there in his yard. And when he came up from that, he's soaking wet. It's running all down him. He goes, "I feel clean. I feel good." And then we started talking to him about baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when we left there, this man was beaming. He had a beautiful smile, and he, "Thank you, oh, thank you so much." And he just wouldn't let us go. We had to go because they were actually calling for us from down the street. And I did not want to go. I wanted to stay there and talk with him more and minister to him more and get him a Bible. They didn't even have a place to get a Bible around it. I mean, there weren't any Bibles available, so... At any rate, I wanted y'all to know about that. In the next 5 minutes, I'm going to talk about, real quick, what I feel like that I, one of the things that I learned from the trip that I want us to consider and think through. And I think it may be not just true there, but it's true pretty much everywhere with all the media and the things that are going on. I think God's getting a bad rep. I think he's getting a bad reputation. God. Because things get blamed on him. There's a tsunami and people say God did it. There's a hurricane, house blows down, people get killed, people say God did it. Are y'all with me here? God doesn't do bad things. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but in this world where there's an atmosphere, the Bible tells us that there is a prince of the power of the air. He's the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. He, the Bible says, is the little g God of this world. And that being is called the devil, Satan, the serpent. He's the same being that defiled Adam and Eve in the garden that put us into this mess to begin with. A mess of disobedience against God, a mess of just having a natural sense of not wanting to do things God's way. He's in charge of what happens here unless we choose that he's not. And when Jesus came as a human and as God so that he could pay the price for human sins as a human. God paid the price himself for our transgressions, our sins, so that we can have a new life and be connected with God. This is the gospel. This is the good news that we don't have to do anything. We don't have to be good enough. going to church all you want will not make you connected with God in the way that we're talking about. What we're talking about is a new life that happens inside of us because the life of God, in by His Spirit, in the name of Jesus, comes in and lives inside of us, and it changes the way we think. It changes the way that we are. This new life changes us. And that is what He's talking about when He says to be born again, to be reborn. Now, if that has not happened to you, if you have not made that decision, if you haven't let Him come in, then I would like to give you the opportunity to do that before we finish. But God gets a bad reputation because there are people who have gone to church all their life. One of the ways He gets a bad reputation is because there's people that have gone to church all their life that say that they're Christians and they've sit in church in and out and they sing the songs and they pray the prayers, but they've never been born again on the inside. And so they live differently outside the church than they act like inside the church. That was the thing that turned me against church to begin with. When I was a teenager, I couldn't hardly stand it because there were people who lived one way. I mean, there's a guy in the parking lot smoking cigarettes and drinking his alcohol in the parking lot of the church, set it all aside, pick up his Bible and walk inside. Now, I'm not trying to judge him or say anything about him at all, but I'm just saying the God that I know changes people so they don't act like that. And then you see other people that are cussing somebody out, as they're, you know, and they beat their wife or they beat their husband or they scream and yell when they get mad and all upset, and they're like that all their life. That's not what God does. God changes us so that we are in a constant process of being changed from one degree of glory to the next as He makes us more and more like Himself, like His Son, Jesus. That's what our life is about once we're born again. And if that's not happening, if you're the same today as you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 3 years ago, if you're exactly the same as you were and there's no growth towards being godly, think about it. There may not be new life in you. And coming to church is not going to help you. It's not going to help you have a new life. Think that through. It's reasonable to think through and challenge yourself. And realize, maybe I need something else. And that something else has already been paid for you. It's Jesus' blood that was given for us. He came alive from the dead and He wants to live inside of us now. And this all seems really mysterious and odd, but it's really just this simple. The simpleness is this. Jesus, I want you. I want you. I want your ways. I want to love like you love. I want to live like you lived. I want to be like you are. It's not necessarily about where you go in eternity in heaven. Yes, that's true. It's about how we live today and the life of heaven, the kingdom of heaven being lived in us today. And that kingdom of heaven comes by the Spirit of God coming and living inside of us. Father was in charge in the Old Testament. Jesus was in charge when He was here, and Holy Spirit's in charge now through the name of Jesus. They're all three one. They're all God, every one of them. And now Holy Spirit can come and be God inside of you and start teaching you what the Bible has to say. And He takes the Bible from the outside. He's on the inside, and He takes the Bible on the outside, and He makes this Bible alive. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit quickens the Word. He makes it come alive to us. And if you take the Bible from the outside, which is the primary way He speaks to us, and you're reading it, He takes it and He goes, hey, boom, that scripture right there. Take it. And then you pause and you meditate on it. You think about it. You let it soak inside of you. And He takes it like seed and He puts it in ground and it begins to grow fruit inside of us that changes us. And we're not doing it. It's not something our effort. Our only effort is to say, yes, Jesus, yes, Holy Spirit, I want you and your way. Show me. And then you open it up and you start reading, and He makes it happen. That's the way this works. So many people are trying and struggling and working so hard to try to be a Christian and try to do right. And I'm so tired of doing right, trying to do right. I can't stop this. I've got addictions. I've got ailments. I've got all kinds of issues. And Jesus came to fix all of that by us not working hard, but by resting and surrendering in Him. It's the opposite of what you think. It's what He's trying to get across to us. More than anything else, He wants to be Him in us. And if you haven't received it, I'd love to introduce you to Jesus and His Spirit. He came to heal. He came to save. He came to deliver from addictions and all kinds of issues. He came, and He's still doing those things today. The Bible says that He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's always the same. He's still doing the same things that He did when He walked on the earth. But He's doing them through us. He wants to do those things through us. Let your imagination run away with you for just a minute and think what's possible if you and I get hooked up to the Spirit in the same way that Jesus was hooked up to the Spirit, and we can tell people to be healed. And we can speak to people that are tormented with emotional issues and see healing in their souls. And we can speak to people who are addicted to whatever. There's all kinds of addictions, addicted to amusement, drugs, alcohol, pornography, all kinds of addictions. And they're driven by our fleshly lust on the inside that cause us to want those things. What I'm saying is, get addicted to Jesus. Get addicted to the Holy Spirit. Get addicted to the Word of God. Get addicted to Him. Let Him be the thing that drives you into the next day, into the next morning. And when you wake up in the morning, you can say, hallelujah, what a beautiful day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Show me who you want me to talk to. Show me how you want me to talk. Show me what you want me to do. I'm going to open up the Word. Holy Spirit, show me what you want. I want to know. And you open it up and it says just what you need. Almost every time. People, it's an awesome life of rest and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's not anything I was going to say. I mean, I got all these scriptures here and Scott's back there. When are you going to get to the scriptures? It's noon here. How can we get it across any better? And I'm praying the Holy Spirit is doing that now. And I want to, so look, Jesus, He came all the way from heaven to earth to be like us. He came to be human like us so that we could be like Him. Just so we could be like Him. He was broken and crushed. Beginning in the garden where He didn't even want to do this. He's like, if this can pass from me, Father, please. And he's sweating and he's got almost, and the Bible says it was like great drops of blood sweating as he's struggling on the inside and his soul. And he's saying, if there's any way, because he knew what was coming, he could see it, he understood it. And those Roman soldiers took him and they beat him. They smashed his face and they ripped out his beard and they put a crown of thorns that were 4 to 6 inches long on his head and they smacked him with poles and they cried out insults. They spat on him. They beat him. And then they took a whip, a cat of nine tails, and they ripped open his back with this whip, a big, strong Roman wielding his whip, 39 lashes, because on the 40th, when they think you're going to die, so they didn't want to give you 40 lashes. And they ripped it open and his muscles are exposed. He's got bones exposed. He's bleeding from his back and from his head and from his face. He couldn't even see out of one eye or the other one. He may not have been able to see at all because his eyes were completely swollen up from the bashing that was happening to him. He did this. He was broken and crushed. And then to finish it off, they take him up on a cross and they let him lay down on it. He laid down on that cross willingly for you and me. And he let them drive nails into his hands and into his feet and hung him up on that cross so that he had to pull up on those nails from the pain in his legs and his arms in order to take a breath. And he hung there for 6 hours or 3 hours, and he's there the whole time trying his best to breathe and get the words out that he knows Father wants him to speak. Until he finally gets the last words out. And the last words were, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. And his body collapsed on that cross. And he was crushed and broken and bruised. And the Bible says it was for us. He did no wrong. He had no sin. He was the spotless Lamb of God whose blood was shed and placed on the mercy seat in heaven, because he walked into heaven with his own blood and laid it on that mercy seat so that God could look at that blood and say, "I forgive them all. I forgive every human that ever sinned, from days past to any day present, everything that's called time. I remove their sins from them as far as the east is from the west. I'm dropping their sins into the sea of forgetfulness so that I remember their sins no more." So all the wrongs that we ever did were wrapped up and covered by the blood of Jesus. And he did all of that and was crushed and broken so we could be fixed. So we could be fixed. And fixing has nothing to do with you except saying yes to Him. He's not asking you to clean up your life. He's not asking you to change the way you're thinking. He's not asking you to do anything except say yes to Him. "I want you to be my boss. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be the one that shows me how to live. Every day, sometimes every minute." That's what we're to do. Just say, "You know what? In this moment right here, that person has got me so ticked off, I don't know what to do with myself. Jesus. Jesus." And I've seen Him come and just change the way that I feel about something right there on the spot over and over again. He wants to do that for you. Y'all just stay right where you are. I don't know if we need any music, but if she comes up and plays, that's awesome. What we need here is music in our hearts. A yes is the song He wants to hear from you. Many of you have already done that, but I can't help but think, since I wasn't even talking on this subject, it's not on my notes, I can't help but think that there's people out here right now that needed to hear this message this morning. There are people that are about to be baptized, follow after Jesus in baptism, and it's a picture of being lowered into a grave and then raised back up to newness of life, just like Jesus. And so maybe you've been in church all your life, or maybe just started, I don't know, but one way or the other, don't you want to be born again? Don't you want to know this new life? Don't you want that? In order to do that, all you got to do is make a public profession of your faith. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and we confess Him with our mouth as the Lord, the boss of our lives, we will be saved. Do you want that? If you want that, then be bold like He was bold. He was bold to come all the way from heaven to earth. He was bold to go through all this life without sin. He was bold to get on that cross and take that beating for you and me. He was bold. And He stood up on that cross, and you see Him with a loincloth. He had no loincloth. He was completely naked up there, shamed. And His shame is our gain if we receive Him. Pray with me. Listen to me, you evil, evil being. You be gone from this place right now in Jesus' name. You have no right in this place. You evil devil. You let go of these hearts in this place right now in Jesus' name. You be removed in Jesus' name and into abyss with you. Go, go, go right now. Go. You've got no right. Go. Get out of here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Yes, sir. There are people struggling in here. People struggling with their knowledge of salvation. People wondering if they're even saved or not. That's the reason that you're here, so that we can know. We can know. And we can know you. And I declare that to be the case right now in every life that has doubts and thoughts. Some here even with thoughts of suicide. Father, I curse death in this place, in the spirit of death. In this massive culture of death, we're bombarded with that. And I curse that spirit in Jesus' name. And I bring life to this place in Jesus' name. We pronounce life in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Release now your beautiful word, and your truth, and your presence. People are going to say yes to you this morning. And I thank you for it. You're beautiful, Father. You're beautiful. You make all things beautiful. You take the rough and the bad and the ugly from the past, and you erase it, and you give us a whole new, beautiful, brand new life. And I'm thanking you for that, for these people this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Glory to you. You want that new life? Stand up right now. Just stand up. Get up. New life. New life for anybody who wants it. Anybody that wants it, just stand up. Come on. Just stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the way we surrender anywhere else in the world is like this. We raise our hands. So if somebody's pointing a gun at you and you're surrendered to him, you raise your hands. He's not pointing a gun at you. He's pointing his Holy Spirit at you. And he wants you to surrender so that he can put the Holy Spirit inside of you. And we're going to say right now, these words, repeat after me and just say, my Father in heaven, I want your will and your way in me. I know that Jesus died for me, and I want his life in me. I turn to you now, and I turn away from my sins. I turn to you now. And I look to you to change me. Mold me and make me. Give me your new life. Right now, I surrender. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if some of you have made that decision and you've never been baptized, or you want to be baptized again, there's water. Who can resist you? Who can say no to you? That's what the Bible says. Here's water. Do you want to do it? And you're like, well, I don't have any clothes. I got you. We'll put your wet clothes back on. The man that stood there, and we baptized him in our canteens right there. He was all soaking wet when he was running around. We left, but he had a beautiful, beautiful smile in his life. Beautiful smile. Don't you want that smile in your heart? All right, so challenged you enough this morning. Nothing on my notes. Maybe we'll get to those one of these other days. But I bless God for what he wanted to do here. And I just thank you so much for your attention and your patience. Thank you.